Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Is Life Turned Up, episode 18. I'm so glad you guys are here. So today we're having a conversation with a friend, Aliza Friedlander, and I'm super excited to introduce you to her, but like quick backstory, she is a parenting and a lifestyle journalist, and I don't know how I became connected with her on LinkedIn, but I did. And I've been following her, and she writes the funniest stuff, you guys. It's funny and impactful and meaningful and way, way needed for us moms out there. So with that, Aliza, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
So tell everybody about yourself and tell everyone what you do and kind of why, and then I'll get into a bunch of questions I have for you.
So I have two daughters, 4 and 5 and a half, and I was a stay-at-home mom for 6 years. I left my job in TV news when I found out I was pregnant with my older daughter. I was a morning show producer. I was working the night shift. I was always working the overnight shift in TV career. So I worked at a local station in DC. My hours were 2 a.m. to 10 a.m. Local station here in Baltimore. My hours were 10:30 p.m. to 7 a.m. And I loved it. I didn't know if I was going to be able to translate that into a sustainable lifestyle when I had kids. And I knew that I always wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, that I always wanted to be home with my kids. Mm-hmm. So when I found out I was pregnant, I left the TV world and I got a master's in emerging media.
After you got pregnant? After you found out you're pregnant?
While I was pregnant. It was a year-long program. I got a master's while I was pregnant. In emerging media. So essentially, I wanted to figure out a way to utilize my producing skills and TV skills with the new ways of communication, digital, online, social media, all of the new ways that people are communicating these days. I wanted to figure out how to blend my skill sets so that when I wanted to go back to work, I was able to find something that I love to do and I was passionate about, like I was for producing TV, and that I could be a mom because I really, really wanted to be a mom. So I stayed home for 5.5 years and I started freelance writing during that time at a local lifestyle magazine here in Baltimore. It's called J-More, and it was a new publication. I reached out to them. I said, this is who I am. This is what I do. Can I freelance write? They said yes. And in May, I started there as a senior writer.
Nice.
Part-time. So perfect for my lifestyle right now, perfect for my schedule. And then I am also a freelance writer. So I do stories for other publications, other platforms. I create content for nonprofits, small businesses. I work with my dad. We don't have a website yet, but we are starting a company called AD Friedlander and Dad. He's actually a journalist as well and a professor of communications at Loyola. The one who started the master's program in emerging media. So he's in this same field. So we are working together on that, launch that. And it's been awesome. I write about what I know, which is parenting, lifestyle. I'm pretty open. I'm pretty honest. And I really went full steam ahead after my husband stayed home with my kids one morning. It was in June. And I had a work event. It was probably the first time in 5 years that I missed the morning routine. My husband works at a startup, so he has a pretty demanding job. Uh-huh. And he's usually out of the house before we are out of the house. We rearranged our schedules. I had to be somewhere at 8 a.m. He made lunch. He got them dressed. He's a super hands-on father. But we have our places.
Yes, I love the but.
He's a super hands-on father, and he's a wonderful dad. I usually do the mornings. He's at work. I do the mornings.
Right.
He got them ready for school. He made them this gourmet breakfast of eggs and chocolate milk. I usually give them like a yogurt and an Eggo waffle as we're 20 running. Minutes. Yeah. He got them there on time. He remembered, like, he brushed their teeth. They had just gotten their ears pierced. He remembered to clean their ears, like, wow. Did it all, like, made their lunches. I didn't lay anything out. I didn't give any, like, he just, because he can do it, sent my younger daughter to school. She was wearing potty training underwear.
Okay.
So my friend
said, did you say no pants?
No pants. Yeah. She went to school in her underwear. So I posted then I texted, my friend sent me a picture. I texted him, like, you sent her to school in her underwear.
No.
He asked who. It was this whole conversation. I proceeded to post it on my Instagram page, our conversation via text message and the picture of my daughter. And I strategically placed it in front of people who I thought would pick it up. And they did. And it went viral. So there are stories. If you Google dad sends daughter to school in her underwear, that's us.
Oh my God, that is so funny. What? That is amazing.
I was like, there are a lot of funny things that happen to parents. I'm a working mom, but I'm also a stay-at-home mom. I need the flexibility. Like, I create content. I know where to place it. I know how to do it. Like, let me
move ahead. My God. But that's the funniest thing about the – not, I wouldn't say the dad role. I would say the person who doesn't have the role of the dominant role in morning routine or evening routine. I mean, when my son Maddox was born, I went out one night, I don't know, when he was probably 6 months, just needing a break. And I went out with my girlfriends. I was like this is when I was living in the city. The bar that I went to was two buildings down from my house. So I felt comfortable. I wake up in the middle of the night because Maddox is crying and he's in his like sleep jumper with nothing else on.
Yeah.
I was like, Charles, like, we live in the city where it's always cold. I mean, that's one thing everyone should know about San Francisco, always cold. And he's like, no pajamas, no shirt, nothing, just diaper. Oh my gosh. So I'm like, really, babe? And he's like, what? He fell asleep. It was all good.
I got so many comments from moms and people probably. So a mom blogger posted it on her site and it got like over 60,000 likes and over 5,000 comments probably in 24 hours. I mean, it just blew up with moms tagging their husbands, calling out their partners, being like, this is why we talk about the fact that tights are not pants all the time, or like, good luck to you. I could see this happening in my house. Then you also got those people who think that I should be super ashamed of it.
Oh God.
And I mean, those were almost my favorite comments. The ones where I had one person comment that I should be completely ashamed that I am married to somebody who doesn't know how to dress children and this should be grounds for divorce. To which I was like, well, you are clearly not married and you clearly do not have kids. Because if you think this is for divorce, like, good luck to your partner. I mean,
oh my gosh. Well, that actually is an interesting point, right? Like, what happens? And I wonder if this is something that's obviously deeper that I see all the time, and I'm sure you do, this judgment that women have with other women. It's everywhere. I mean, look at the Super Bowl. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So you're sharing these personal things that, you know, happen in your life that happen. I mean, my husband's never sent my kids in underwear, but it's relatable, right? Like, you feel it, you laugh, you're like, oh my God, that's so something my husband would do, or so something I maybe would have done at the beginning. You know, all of these things. But what you're writing about is so important because it's so relatable. And what happens, I'm sure, when you share these things is you get the other side, you get this judgment. And there is a big thing that, like, obviously I am trying to fix in my world and everything that I do. This whole, like, why are we judging each other so harshly? We're doing the best we can.
Yeah. And, you know, this may be a controversial statement, something that people don't agree with. I happen to think, and I talk with my friends about it all the time, I just believe being a mom is different than being a dad. And I think that that's okay. And I don't think necessarily what I do really well is maybe what my husband will do really well and vice versa. But I just think I don't know how to explain it. And you can't really, I don't think, explain it to people unless they have children. But being a mom is different than being a dad. I feel like I saw it when I was growing up in no bad way, but the mom is usually the one who's running around, brushing teeth, making lunch, doing the day-to-day mundane routine, and the dad's fun. Even when you have that, even when you're both working parents, even if one is working, one's not, and obviously there are exceptions to everything, but sure. I think as a general whole, I just feel being a mother is different than being a father. And not, I don't think one is better than the other. I think they are both incredibly important roles and incredibly important things. And I don't think they should be the same, because I think if they were the same, a household wouldn't necessarily function. I think there's a reason that men and women, I think, are just wired differently.
Of course. I think it's totally true. I do have a lot of friends whose the roles are reversed. They are, you know, the ones who are working more. The husbands are the one doing pickups and dinners. That said, the amount of, I don't know what it is and how we are wired differently, but there's something to be said about the amount of stuff that we take on as women, as moms, tend to be a little more, and it's not just the physical dinners, lunches, all those things. It's more of the emotional side. And I find it really interesting. Even my friends who are, you know, partners at law firms and whose husbands pick up the kids because my friends are in these crazy cases, they are still super obviously involved, and they're up at night stressing about this and that and on top of all of their work. And men do the same, but I just don't, and again, this could be controversial, I don't know, but I don't get the sense that they have the same level of stress, only because we actually had these children, these people in our bodies. Like, there's a connection that is deep, like deep.
Yeah. And I don't know if we'll ever get down to like what the bottom of it or what it is. And listen, I think no matter what your role is in the house, no matter how you feel, no matter what gender you relate to, don't relate to, any of that, I think every role is important. I do think.
Oh, of course.
No matter what it is, it's all needed. And the way that it works for your family isn't going to be the way that it works for somebody else's family. This works for our family. The way that we have created our roles and created the ways that we are going to keep our house functioning works for us. It doesn't necessarily work for my friend down the street or my next door neighbor or somebody else. And so I think that's up to the individual families to create.
Right. And there needs to be a level of somehow we have to take the judgment out of it, because we judge so, for whatever reason, women judge each other so harshly, and it drives me fucking crazy. I'm sorry. But it drives me crazy to see this amount of judgment, because we think we know what's right. Anyways, I could go on and on about that. But I do want to ask you, I have a bunch of questions and I want to keep this to try to, you know, 15, 20 minutes. But tell me about a story in your life that has impacted you the most. Kind of a deep question, but answer it any way you want.
So I guess probably the thing that has impacted me the most was the loss of my mother-in-law. She passed away when I was 28 weeks pregnant with my older daughter, and suddenly. And I think just that experience has shifted the way, I mean, there's a before she passed away and an after she passed away in my mind. And we have a really beautiful family. We have a really beautiful connection. And I think it's just taught me, I have a lot of anxiety. I've always had anxiety over health-related issues are my trigger. And so I've through that found for myself a therapist who I absolutely love. And I think everybody should have a therapist.
Oh, like, God, yes.
Have anxiety or not, or whatever it is. I absolutely love her. And it's you know, shifted the way that I, she would have been an incredibly hands-on grandmother, and my mom is an incredibly hands-on grandmother, and we were all very close. And it just has taught me to really appreciate my family. It taught me to appreciate the things that I have in my life. It's also taught me that it's okay to be anxious about things, because even when people say, oh, well, it's not really going to happen, sometimes it does happen. But I don't, and again, obviously I don't know how things would have been or not. I have no way of knowing, but I do know that the family unit that we have created now is an incredibly strong one. And people look at my family and are like, oh, wow, you guys really are very old school. I live across the street from my sister and brother-in-law. So my husband's sister and her husband live across the street from us. We have two nieces. So they have two girls. We have two girls. The four girls are growing up together across the street. Uh-huh. My father-in-law lives down the street. My parents live 10 minutes away. My aunt lives in the area. All of my husband's family lives here. And we do dinner once a week, at least once a week, usually like 3 to 5 times a week.
Oh, that's so amazing.
My brother-in-law's parents live here, and my kids think that my brother-in-law's parents are their grandparents, and like my niece and nephew think that my parents are their grandparents. So it's this whole village, this whole community. So I think that is a story that's really shaped my
So how do you think, in just a few minutes we have left here, how do you think that story and, you know, that loss has impacted you as a writer and as a journalist?
So I recently actually wrote a story about loss and grief. There was an organization in my area here in Baltimore that was putting on a program called The Language of Loss. And as I was talking to them, they were saying the purpose of the program is for parents of this school to know how to communicate with your kids about loss, about grief, about mourning. And I happen to include part of my story in that because it's exactly what it is that I had done. And I think that's something that I've done. My kids have always talked about death and grief, and it's always been a part of their life. And the way we've talked about it has shifted from when they were really young. Whoever has passed away, and since they've been born, I mean, this is sad, but we had 7 out of 8 of our grandparents alive when we got married 8.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. They were all in their 90s. So, when you have 7 out of 8 of your grandparents alive in your 90s, it's the circle of life. But, we talked about, so we said, whoever passes away is in your heart and in the clouds and watching over you, very like soft and gentle metaphorically. Well, they turned 3 or 4 and we were in an airplane up in the clouds, and they're like, oh, see Mimi, we're in the clouds now. So like, we're very finite about the ways that we talk about it. And there are ways to talk to children about grief and about loss. I'm obviously not an expert in that, but I think the point is, that story and the story of me going viral and basically everything that I write, I'm pretty open and honest, and I'm okay with sharing things about myself and my life. I hope that what people see from me make them maybe they can connect to, they can relate to, they can know that they're not alone. I think so. I try and if you see my stories, which I tend to post on LinkedIn and Instagram, I tend to focus more on writing about stories that I can relate to and that I can sort of intertwine my story in with the news peg or whatever hook I'm writing about. I try and tell an anecdote that has to do with my life too, if it fits.
Sure. And
that's why I like to call myself a parenting and lifestyle journalist, because it's not really, there is this new, in my mind, there is this new like blending of ourselves and the journalism. And I think with the new forms of communication and technology, people really want to know who's behind the writing. Whereas really old school journalism, like there's a big separation between church and state. Like you can not put anything personal, like you're reporting the facts and that is what you're doing. And I think with hard news, that is still the case. But I think with this new area of lifestyle and blogging, and I don't call myself a blogger, but all of these new communications, people want to know who's behind the writing. And I think that builds your network and builds your community. And so that is what I totally
do. I love that. And I think to your point, I think what we all crave is connection at the end of the day. And I think especially for moms, we feel, you know, me, my clients, my friends, there's this thing that we all just want to be connected because it's lonely and it's a crazy world that we live in. Even if we're working full time, like it's just a hard, we have a lot of stresses. We have a lot of emotions that come up, and to feel like we could connect to somebody on, you know, through words and through other emotions is so powerful. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing your work that you're doing. And thank you for being on this podcast. And you guys, in the notes, in the show notes, we'll have links on where you could find Eliza. So we'll check it out. I'll put links for her Instagram and LinkedIn stuff. But thank you so much for being on. This was awesome. We could talk for another hour about this stuff.
I bet we could.
Yes, we can.
If you want to have me back anytime.
I definitely will. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. See you next time. Bye.